Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth, and thank you for joining us again on a part two episode of Midsommar. And you did it. You made it. You're here. And we even added some extra content at the beginning because maybe I didn't have the beginning of the show for this one. So don't worry. I think you guys made out. There's some good, juicy content stories at the beginning of this that you're going to love. So, hey, you know, usually do all the same kind of stuff. If you're a first-time listener, you love the show, drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, Stitcher, wherever that you listen to us on. Or, you know what? Just tell a friend. Tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way. It means the world to us. Just being a little small-time operation that we are, any help that you can give us in that regard, you know, it's a big deal. So without further ado, get strapped in. Turn that volume up to 11. And get ready for Midsommar, part two.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
I got a new job where I'm a blender, and I'm pretty much working in big time manufacturing of food. I don't want to say where, but our mixer can handle 5,000 pounds, but we only made 4,000 pounds of blueberry muffins this week.
Do you get any of like if one falls on the ground, they're like, "There's your lunch, boy." And you're
this isn't
like,
even this isn't even actually making the muffin. This is just blending the mix that goes to like manufacturing into little bags to make them into like one servings. So
cool.
So and, wait, is this like dry mix or wet mix?
Yeah, dry mix. You make it wet.
I got that WAP, y'all.
Just add pussy sweat. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth. I'm, of course, joined by Jeremy Woodworth, my sweet brother.
Yeah, that's me. I don't have a character.
Okay, I respect that. I respect that. And, of course,
me off guard.
The awesome Miss Ashley Ponchosh.
Hi, Daddy.
How are you doing, boo-boo?
I'm good. I didn't have diarrhea today.
That is a big step. That's a big step for you.
I was actually constipated the last 2 days, and I was like, oh, my God, have I finally earned my wings? I've earned my butt wings.
You just don't drink coffee enough.
Nope. Dude, I had 3 cups today, and I was struggling to pinch off that loaf, so I was super happy.
Well, congratulations.
Well, you can't take heroin all the time. It always makes you stopped up, so.
It was very fun to spend the weekend with Eric doing our show together because I told him he had brought beer, which was so cool of him. And he's such a gentleman. Your brother is such a gentleman. He brings me a seat. He offers me his own beer that he just opened. And then I was like, I want this beer, but I'm afraid if I drink it, I'm going to have to poop. And he's like, I've never been so, not turned on right now.
Man, what's the opposite of an erection?
An inverted erection. Your erection crawled up inside you.
Can I say what my wife does to turn me off?
Yeah.
Where? Picking her under boob zits.
I like great though. I understand her. I feel like there's like a bond because it gets sweaty under there.
Oh.
Like wow, this is Sarah's a big boob, and there's a big zit underneath it, and I just don't want to watch this. So.
Wait, the man who once caused Christmas in a hot tub is
I know, I have no legs to judge upon. I mean,
you just can't help it. I get it.
Well, yeah. you try to not turn a person off on purpose, but eventually you do try to, because it's just fun to be an asshole. So
I dig that. That makes sense.
I feel like your brother did it with his mullet. It was like, I'm not trying to make people hate me, but I'm also kind of enjoying the disgust. Am I right, Eric?
It feels really good. No, there's something about a mullet, okay? There's something about it. It breeds a confidence of, this is the worst. You know it's the worst you can ever look. So anything that happens, you're like, everything only gets better. Everything only gets better with it. So,
by the way, you did
bring it back, I'll cry.
You didn't say whether or not you had a mullet wig.
I don't have a mullet wig, but we could make a wig into a mullet.
No, well I'm going to buy one because I have another scene I have. I want
For Baby
I have another
Eater?
Thespian to be your brother in Baby Eater.
So. Okay, good. Is it Chris or Steve-O?
No.
Okay.
No, don't buy a wig. That's like such a waste of money. Just have me finally shave off all my pubes and we'll turn it into a wig for
Thank you, Ashley. Yes.
Cute wig.
That acidic look going, the little
I'd much rather have, if you could just actually shave it all off and then just sew a small little throw pillow that I could just, you know, just rest it, you know, but cut it fine enough so it still sticks through the bag so it kind of pokes you like this, like that, you know, that's what
I'd
like.
You're lucky that I respect you enough and no boundaries and I don't put it into a love pie for you.
Just like our movie today, Midsummer Part 2, we actually had to film this intro because obviously you guys don't hear Brandon Lescure. We're just going to pick right back up where we left off when that comes in. But I do have one fun story for you guys. So last night, I went to the Mahoning Drive-In Theater. Jeremy, are you familiar with the Mahoning Drive-In?
You're just making this up. It's not a real place.
No, so it's in Pennsylvania. It's about 3 hours away. It's called the Mahoning Drive-In. You know who put me onto this is you and I's mutual friend, Lisa Bust-A-Bust.
Ooh.
So Lisa Bust-A-Bust, it's the drive-in theater she goes into. They usually do like Toxic Avenger weekends and like they show really trashy grindhouse films a lot of the time. But me and the Die Laughing folks decided we're going to go do a team building experience. And we all drove up to Pennsylvania, me, Juan Thomas Simbazo, Justin Schlegel, Joe Robinson, Katie Robinson, and Sean Gabbert. And man, what a trip. We stayed at what's called the Mahoning Inn. So the Mahoning Inn is a, how do I explain this? It's like a place where you would take children to get trafficked, if that makes sense. It's like the kind of, it's got that real, like, it's a motel, but it's also like people live there a lot of times. Place
Motel Hell.
Yes,
Motel Hell.
Which, by the way, the Playboy hotel somewhere in Jersey, it fell out of favor, and I think that after the owners totally disavowed it, then bums just started living in it and almost making it a place that was almost livable. It was a great looking place, but I don't think anybody should actually be there.
Yeah. So, but this place is just crawling with people that are clearly there to probably go to the drive-in, and the other half are just middle Pennsylvania locals that like live in or around the motel. There was this one guy, and I shit you not, he walked with this weird posture with like his arms back, like he had maybe like a back problem. And Tommy mentioned that he looked like he's not really a man. He's an actual frog that just puts slacks on and then just bulbous out his chest like this. And, like, and we were laughing at the fact, like, if you walked by him right now, he would just be like, oh, hello, humans. I'm just going to do human stuff. And like his tongue comes out, just grabs a fly real quick.
The WB frog.
Yeah.
Hello, my barber.
100%. So we were laughing at that guy for a while. And then We went over to the front side. So some things about this, and I'll go share my screen so I can show you the amenities at the Mahoning Inn real quick. So the Mahoning Inn. Here we go. All right. So let me share this. Share screen. Let's do that. And boom. So, okay. So let's check out the website for the Mahoning Inn. Where is it? Website. Here we go. All right, so look, this is the place. Free HBO and Wi-Fi, okay? By the way, the Wi-Fi, you know how, like, when you go to a hotel, there's usually, like, a room password that you have? I just want you to know, you don't have to get a fucking room here. You can just use the Wi-Fi, okay? There's no... It's completely unprotected. Sweet. Fucking thing. Now, if you look at it, here's some of the pictures, right? Oh, looks tame enough, right?
Okay. Hey, they got a Coke machine.
Yeah.
The idea that anything there is protected is beyond me. Okay.
Hey, look.
Bill Sing.
Here's some more beautiful landscaping. Look at this.
Oh, a place for me to sit on top and smoke my cigarette.
Hey, relax under our shade tree, okay? I'll let you know, the second me and Tommy checked in, we beat the rest of the gang. We went straight for that shade tree. We took some pictures. We were like, fuck yeah. We're here at the shade tree right now.
A little picnic.
But I want you to know, my name is Bill. Have you seen our landscaping or our shade tree?
So there's the shade tree. We were enjoying that. Now, the real thing that that made us want to go here is that Katie was looking at places for us to stay, and this is the closest place, but they have a famous guest section, okay? So famous guests at the Mahoning Inn. Ready? The Sopranos.
Oh my gosh. Right here.
Look, it's Vinny Vella with the owner Bill Singh and movie star Rich Rossi. You see that? Isn't that nice? That's that was from May 2013, right? And
2 years. Too.
Try to guess. I'll give you guys each one guess. Try to guess the other big star that was there.
I'm gonna guess. Who's the guy that does the parrot voice in the Disney movies?
Gilbert Gottfried. Okay, Gilbert Gottfried, solid guess. How about you, Ash? What do you think? Who's the other famous person that stayed at the Mahoning Inn?
I'm going to say Wilford Brimley.
Oh, Wilford Brimley. These are both...
It's like a great place to stay.
He's now still haunting the grounds, letting people know that they can save with Liberty Medical.
I wonder, they're probably open to people with diabetes here.
All right, so these are both good guesses. They're both wrong. The real answer is... That's it. These are the only two that have ever stayed there that are famous.
What's their names on the marquee?
That's it. I guess that's not true, but I wouldn't call Tommy Dorsey Orchestra is the other famous, quote unquote, air quotes, famous people that have stayed here. So that's our famous thing. And by the way, they really do love The Sopranos, because I walked in and right on there are both of these pictures. They're framed next to the front there, okay? On the front, like, wow. Yeah. Vinny Vella and Rich Rossi both stayed here. So Katie called this place up, and then she decided, she was just like, well, if these guys are celebrities, then Die Laughing Productions are celebrities. So she called up as the manager for Die Laughing Productions, and he said, hi, we're internationally touring comedy murder mystery group, Die Laughing Productions, dielaughingproductions.com. We were wondering if you had any celebrity rooms available, because we've read on your website that you house celebrities. And then... So, and then they said, no, actually, we're full for the weekend. And she goes, oh, that's really a shame. Have you guys heard of Billy Ray Paisley? Which is my character from, like, one of the murder mysteries, okay? So Katie's in on the bet. She's crushing it, right? So they said, I'll have to go check with a manager, okay? So a whole 24 hours go by. They call us up. They say, we got two rooms for Die Laughing Productions. So they made available two rooms for us. Now, if you look at this beautiful picture, we got the backside of the mountain view right here. So we got into our room, and the best way to describe how this place looked interior wise, you know, I know the glitz and glam of the shade tree maybe is a little bit throwing you off, but when you get in, it looks like how your mom would have like designed a basement that she just finished in 1990. So it is not a flattering room. It's like gray like wall, but then it has like the wallpaper that's like red, like fucking border around it, green carpet. We immediately had to check for bed bugs. That was number one. Step one, let's inspect the sheets. And so we pulled back the sheets, looked at the mattress and stuff like that, and we're like, I think we're good. I think that we're good. Me and Tommy though are sitting there looking at a room like, Katie's not gonna fucking like this. She is not. She's not gonna fucking like this. She's not gonna fucking like this for 1 second. So, and she did not. But it was her bit. So now we had to stay there. And I was like, me and Tommy though are, because we're trash people, are like, well, I mean, as long as there's no bed bugs, I'm good. I'm fucking. I don't want
to know how the rooms got split up. Who stayed with who?
So, in one room, it really. So, I'll get to that. I'll get to the end of the night,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So, we go to the drive-in, and the drive-in's really cool. So, you can pay. It's like $10 a ticket, right? You can get in there, do whatever you want, and then you can pay an extra $10, and you can park your car there overnight. So, people camp at like the back and shit like that. They have a real 35mm reel-to-reel projector that they show on like a 70-foot screen. It's pretty cool, and it's legit drive-in. You know, you listen to everything. So we park at the back because we know, A, we're probably going to be loud, rude. We're already like 9 White Claws deep. We're getting fucking turned up, right? So as we're sitting there, we almost watched. Just to be clear, it was the Goonies and the Explorers was the double feature, and we watched both of those films, maybe 5 minutes of each of them, and did nothing but laugh hysterically, because every time that somebody would leave, they put on their headlights to drive, and Justin's favorite bit was to immediately, when that happens, come over and run to me and pretend to be blowing me like this, so that the car drives by until the lights. And when I say that he did that bit 15 times, he didn't miss one of the times. Any opportunity, he's just like, yep, I'm going to do that again. So he did that. Now, one last thing, all right? And there's one last good story from this. As we were pulling up, there was a... we were looking at the attendant there, and looked, we weren't sure, maybe man, maybe woman, not sure how they identify, but Tommy was looking at her, at him, her. She's wearing a blouse. I'll say she. I think that's what she wanted to identify as. So I'm gonna respect what I think her pronoun is, right? So she's wearing a blouse, and I'm like, he's like, what do you think? Huh? Like, and then as soon as I pulled up, and it was like, here's my ticket. Can I pay for overnight? Yeah, hold on 1 second. Deep, real deep rasp. Like, put fucking some bass in there. Just to describe what this hot lady was wearing, she has a handcuffs that she's using as a belt on the front. So actual handcuffs like this, a belt buckle. And not one, not two, but 3 sheathed knives that are strapped on different parts of her body right now. three knives. And then, so Tommy, while she's writing me up my little ticket, which for the overnight parking, I see Tommy. He's like, okay, I see this game. So he pulls out a knife and just sets it on his lap. He's like, I'm going to show her mine. Like this. This is like, as a show of respect. that was... She was really fun, super hot lady. Love the attendant there, and I guess that's pretty much it. You know, other than that, just die laughing antics the rest of the night. We get back to the hotel room. Now, I had checked in one room. Katie had checked in the other. All 4 of us go into my room, Justin, Tommy, Sean, and myself, and I collapsed on bed 1, and then we're sleeping 2 and 2 on a bed, and then you're like, Joey Katie are like, you know, there's a whole nother bed here. All three of them looked at each other like, I can't fucking move right now. This is it. And so I was like, okay, well, I left my own room to go sleep in Joe and Katie's room so I could just have my own bed. And it was good. It was fun times. It was a lot of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, and then drove straight here so I could immediately do Laugh Finder and the Quality Time podcast with you gents and ladies.
I'm touched, but that also makes sense. I know you didn't get a lot of sleep because you stayed up all night jerking it to them fucking next to you. I get it.
Yeah. No, I literally did the dead man sleep where I took off my shoes, I laid down, no blankets, and I woke up 4 hours later in the exact same position. Like, time to fucking go. Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready to roll again right now. So... that was it, man. That was my weekend. And thanks. I'm allowed to share. Now, I do want to go back to the Haunting thing, and maybe we can make a Quality Time trip up there. I've heard VHS Fest is like their big jam. They like show straight to like DVD movies for like a whole weekend. So maybe a little camping trip up to the old Haunting thing. Because like I was there, I'd be willing to camp there. I think I'd set up a tent and put out an air mattress for myself, and then I think we could rough it and slum it one night.
Hey, if they show Trancers, I'm there.
Yeah, Trancers. Whew, Trancers.
I would definitely do it. Just remind me to bring a shovel because of all the shit I probably have to do.
I think a double showing of Trancers and Doll Man would be the best.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet, dude. Would be pretty sweet. All right.
I want to see Andrew Cabin.
You want a what?
I want to see Handjob Cabin.
Oh, Handjob Cabin. I've heard so many great things about it, but I have not seen it. Have you watched Handjob Cabin yet, Jeremy?
No, never heard of it.
It's about a haunted house where the ghost gives you hand jobs to death.
Oh. No, I saw a picture of it, and that was as close as I got to
it. Yeah, I haven't watched it in its entirety. But...
I'm surprised that our movie next week wasn't called Handjob Cabin.
Yes, next week's episode. God. Well, anyway, we ready to hop back into Midsummer. By the way, if you're listening to this and you didn't listen to the last episode, you maybe should take a trip down memory lane and listen to episode one first. But here we are with the continuation of Midsummer. Now, the other two folks that we didn't really mention them earlier, but the other two people there are Connie and Simon. They're a couple that the other fella brought to the commune. They can't fucking handle this murder, this suicide that just happened. The older lady, Siv, tries to like calm them down and be like, no, you have to understand, suicide is our tradition. You need to understand with... This is it. So they're not really fucking happy about this whole thing. The next day kind of goes by with like a flash as, you know, Christian basically tells Josh that he's going to do his thesis on this. Josh is like, no, this is my fucking thesis. This shit is not going to fly. You're a fucking cock. It's just adding to Christian's bullshitness, ultimately.
He's the Christopher Columbus of academia.
And also,
that's a good joke.
And also, I will say this is not an accurate depiction of how a black person, I feel, would act in this situation. There's no way that this black guy is like, well, I need to study this a little bit more. No, this motherfucker leaves right now. There's no way he doesn't realize this isn't a bad idea.
Right.
So, you know, this is just whitewashing how I think a black person would act in this situation, ultimately.
I mean, straight up, I leave the moment that person throws themselves off the cliff.
Yes!
I've seen too many movies. I know I'm in like a horror movie now. I have to leave. I'm gonna die one way. Like, I would run right out, leave my shit. Like, it can't be that far to civilization. Like, why did those two British people stay the night? That's
yes!
the one thing.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, here's my question. We were talking earlier about shared universes. What if this is in the same universe as Get Out and the black guy just has a white person inside him?
We haven't considered that. You're right.
Just a thought.
I like it. I like it. So some other things that happen the next day is Josh asks Pell if he can write about them. He's like, I don't know if the elders are going to be down with that. I'll go check with them. And then Josh gets to go see their holy book, which is basically written by a mentally handicapped person who is who's purposely inbred so that he's not clouded. And I like that he all he does is just finger paint on it while they write little rune drawings on top of it. I do like this weird this weird Hills Have Eyes character that's just like, oh yeah, this is our prophet, no big deal.
And I have so many questions because it's like, well, wait a minute, are you telling me that this ignoramus is the one that's like, put some of your hair in a pie?
If you want him to love you, you'll shave off your pubic hair and feed it to him with menstrual blood.
Throw the old people off the rock.
This is what I feel like would happen if someone let Jeremy be the mayor of a town.
Everybody's a clown now. And we only make love to midgets.
Jeremy is over there in tears right now.
One can dream.
Ah, welcome to Fucktown, home of Jeremy Woodworth. We also do. Danny gets to go make fucking meat pies with the ladies that day, and on top of that, she gets to. You do see that the one chick Maya, which conveniently is May, kind of rearranged. She's shaving her pubic hair and then slips some of that into the meat pie. Later at that lunch, you'll see that everybody has the same color drink except for Christian, who probably has a little bit of menstrual blood mixed in with the pubic hair lunch that he's eating.
I mean, maybe you don't know that. Maybe he just ordered Tang. You're jumping to conclusions, Eric.
And I neglected to mention that earlier. There is a giant mural that you do see of like this love potion recipe that you're like, oh, that's where this girl is cutting her pussy hairs off in this drawing. And then, oh, okay. And it's like right after you see the caged bear who will be brought up in Act 3 one more time.
For a split second, I was like, maybe the bear symbolizes the furry nature of her crotch.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what that Britney Spears song, Not a Girl, Not a I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman, is about, is actually about just a hairy ass pussy.
Just like the Native Americans who you know, had nature worship and relationships with nature. It's like, you know, when I don't shave, boyfriends used to call me spider legs. Like, it's all it's like, you are the tarantula. Be the tarantula.
People actually called you that? Do you need a bear suit? Do you want to borrow a bear suit? You can set them on fire.
I'm pretty sure that anytime I sleep with a bigger hairy dude, I'm wearing a bear suit. So we're good.
I just checked out the DNC website, and there's like a really obscure donation part where if you give like $10,000, you can actually feel Biden's leg hairs.
Yeah, yes, that is true. You can, but it the only cost is 4 hair sniffs to actually get to that donation level. That's the only way that he can keep going.
That's reasonable. He's gonna do one without asking anyway. Yeah. So
like, the next one's like, a donation.
Pretty reasonable.
So that night, Danny has some nightmares. She revisits the rocks, and I love the little scene where she kind of sees the hammer like pull up from the guy's face and it reform. Yeah. That's a pretty rad little scene. But he also sees, she sees her parents by the rocks, and then also sees her sister's eyes open up, still with the fucking creepy gas mask on. Also kind of building into this rebirth thing that the cult, the Harga, is all about. They say, you know, it's not sad when people die. We're all reborn. And it also shows that Danny's kind of part of this community. This is where her family almost literally is right now. So
can we talk about dorky boy driving away in the car with the look on his face like, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also part of her friends leaving her isolated there, and while she's scared, I don't know, she's part of the fam now, whether she likes it or not. I did neglect to mention that what's her name, Connie, and the other guy Simon disappear that day. One Simon just gets gone, and then some guy tells Connie like, "Yeah, we had to take him to the train station. He couldn't tell you because we can only drive two at a time." That doesn't sound right. And then no, it's right. Now we follow all the laws. Get into the car, and she just goes along with it. And,
yeah. Well, it is interesting that she at least asks like the normal questions that we would ask that you don't always hear in horror movies, where she's like, "I could have sat on his lap. Why would he not take me with him?" And they're like, "Oh, we obey the laws here in Sweden." Like,
yes, we obey all the laws except for those of like ritual suicide or doing hallucinogenic drugs. But
putting a pussy hair in a meat pie. That is a law, technically.
We haven't seen the health inspector for a while.
The next day, also in that same night where she has that dream sequence, Josh goes to sneak off to go take some fucking pictures of the book. Now, earlier in the day, Mark has disappeared with the other hot, like, Swedish girl. Well, so they think that
you're forgetting a key point here. Earlier in the day, Mark pissed on a tree filled with ashes. Of all of their dead relatives.
He just pissed on the tree of basically their cemetery right over there. Just pissed on
Mark
everyone's
grave. Mark is my favorite character, because he just has the best lines. Because I guess you would call him maybe the comedic relief, if anything. But he just has the best lines. Like, I know at one point he just goes, "Someone should tell those girls they're walking stupid."
I mean, they were.
I know, but he just has the best lines.
No, but like, he pisses on the tree. He immediately starts getting reprimanded by someone, and then, but he's unapologetic about it. He's just
right.
Like, it's a fucking dead tree, and I had to piss, bro.
He literally goes, "You're like, nobody told me I could piss on that tree. Nobody said this was not a piss tree when I walked in here."
I mean, not even
typical
with
American.
Like, not even talking about the fact that like they're in the middle of the field and the tree is not like he's like 100 feet from everyone. Like, yes. You shouldn't, regardless of if that's like the dead relative tree, he shouldn't be pissing there anyway. He's so close to everyone. Like, walk 200 more feet and piss in the woods like a normal person, Mark.
But you know they
it's
have
like the
to
Alamo
bathroom,
of their peoples.
But right, don't they have to have a bathroom? Like, I'm pretty sure we're confident, like any normal civilized society, they have a place where you do number one and number two, not out on a tree in front of all the children. Like,
they literally
good job, Ozzy Osbourne.
Like, we know they have this because there's kids watching Austin Powers at some point, so they have modern plumbing. You understand? You don't have to piss on the fucking sacred tree, Mark.
Yeah, if you have a VHS copy of Austin Powers, then you need to have a bathroom.
I would like to think that they're all watching the Golden Dick, because it's the Swedish
gold member
bad guy.
Yes. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
They don't mention that, but yeah, they would have to be gold member, and like it's recut so that gold member is the good guy in the movie, right? Like,
gold member is the funniest Sweden person ever.
She's like, "Yes, get that occupier Austin Powers out of here."
What do you mean he isn't really Swedish in real life?
Yeah, every time I think that, like, all right, Ari Aster, he might be a little pretentious, I have to remind myself that he did make an Austin Powers reference in the middle of his in the middle of his opus. He chose he could have picked anything.
Anything.
He could have picked a movie that you would have to Google and go, "Oh my god, that tells you everything about what's about to happen to them." But no. Right. He picked Austin Powers.
So, well, you know what though? You're maybe it does. A hairy man puts love spells on foreigners.
Oh, baby.
This is like the, it's just like The Shining, but there's plenty of like Looney Tunes in it, you know. Yeah.
So that also that same night, you know, Josh is out taking books, taking the fucking pictures of a finger painted book that a mentally disabled man has written, because this is going to be his thesis. Keep in mind, this is his breakthrough, okay, is copying this guy's book. All right, so he's going, that
it's like National Treasure,
and he thinks he sees Mark in the room, who's fully nude, and he's just like, Mark, you snuck up on me, calm down. Doesn't mention, why is your penis out right now? Like, I don't understand why you're showing me your penis right now. And that's not the first thing mentioned, but it's not actually Mark, it's a guy who's skinned Mark and is wearing his face a la The Devil's Rejects or House of a Thousand Corpses, right, style. He's wearing a Mark suit, and somebody whacks him over the head, and Josh is no more. So
I actually watched some of the special features on the Blu-ray today, and that the guy wearing the Mark mask is the guy who was staring at him angrily and yelled at him for pissing on the dead, for pissing on the spiritual tree. So
hey, you pissed.
That's cool.
You pissed on my mom. You pissed on my mom's grave. I wear your skin tonight. That's them's the rules in the Haga. All right.
Yeah. If you read the book, you'll see all the rules are clearly outlined.
Hey, if you
the page with red finger paint. That's the one.
If you seen right here where he wrote that, I get to wear your skin. Now come up off it, Marky. So the next day, Danny and Christian wake up, and they're basically the only two left, right? No, everybody's gone. Mark's gone. They just think he's off some, Christian is just immediately saying, oh, he's off probably still fucking some bitch, right? Like, in this community where no one leaves, right? So I don't know how he overlooks this, but they also kind of frame this question about, well, somebody stole our holy book. I'm not trying to point any fingers. It's probably the black guy. And they immediately...
I mean, it was.
They say, but if it's just...
It actually was. He was trying to take it.
Yes.
But here's what's interesting about that, though. He actually doesn't make off with it. He's taking pictures of it. I was actually waiting the whole time for it to come out later that it was Christian who actually made off with the book after his death, and that he was just being an asshole and lying, because that's what he does.
Well,
he's a Christian.
I mean,
he didn't know he had to say the secret words "Klaatu Vrata Nictu" when he says
yes. Call back to our 200th episode, which was last week. Hell yeah. I like that they frame this, but Christian, instead of defending his friend like he would ever do that, immediately says, we're not associated with that guy at all. He's a fucking cock about it. Immediately he just blames him. He's like, yeah, it was probably...
This is where I stopped defending Christian, by the way. The forgotten birthday, the lame ass cake, the I'm gonna steal your thesis, just they make him like irredeemable, honestly. So I you're not gonna hear me defending him for the second half of the movie.
I would say it started for me too whenever the girl kicks him while he's sitting there and he's like suddenly interested. I'm like, all it took was a girl kicking you to be interested, and I was like, you know what? I've seen the videos. Never mind.
So they end up ultimately separating the two to do their own thing. Now, Christian has to go to this little shack where he goes to talk with Siv. And while he's in the waiting room, he's staring at a picture of a bear burning on the wall, which that's going to happen very, very soon to him. She brings him into this other room, and they sit down, and he says, you know that hot piece of ass who's like, you know, 13 years old, that's my daughter. By the way, she's old enough to mate, and she's chosen you to be her mate. And he doesn't immediately say no. He's just like, well, I'm open to suggestions. Yeah, I want to absorb the culture more than anything. He takes
that's so weird.
He's totally cool with fucking this kid immediately, which I just adds to Christian's shittiness, right? And
yeah,
outside, Danny is all dolled up, and now she's dressed as one of the townsfolk, and it's actually kind of, you know, leading into how she's part of the community. It's the first thing like she's wearing in the movie that actually fits her. Like, all of her clothes up until this point have been kind of like baggy and loose, but like this dress that she wears is like perfectly form-fitting.
That's
and
a good
like
point.
Now she's like really part of the community. And there is a ritual that she starts to do, like this little game where they just run in circles around this fucking pole until people drop out one by one. It's like it's an Iron Man contest of dancing, but also it's kind of symbolizing this horrible relationship that she's in with Christian, because they're just going around and around in circles and not actually solving or growing at all.
You're being so deep, Eric.
Hey, you know, that's what I'm here to do, to drop the little tidbits of Scandinavian knowledge into this podcast.
Eric, I might make you a pie.
I'm just happy I suggested a movie that can let you go deep. I mean, instead of just like, what are you going to pontificate about, like the inner meanings of Jason Goes to Hell the Final Friday?
Oh, please don't get me started on Jason is a Deadite. That could be another 2 hours that we do right there.
I don't think we've gotten as deep since Night of the Scarecrow with Brian Dennehy.
Yes, so. I don't know what you're talking about, but thank you, Jeremy. That is very much on your brand to talk about something we are not talking about at all, and I love that.
If we can only talk about Brian Dennehy every week, this podcast would be a hell of a lot better.
And now back to the Brian Dennehy Hour with me, Jeremy and Brandon.
Hell yeah.
Welcome, Jeremy, to Dissecting
Dennehy. What do you think?
I don't know if there was ever a sexier actor ever in Hollywood. Never will there ever be again.
Yeah. Stick around for our follow-up episode about Wilford Brimley.
So as this is all going down, everybody who gets into this like giant spinning thing, they all get fed hallucinogens, right? There's special mushroom tea everybody gets. You're supposed to look them in the eye and you do it. So Danny's tripping balls while she's doing this the entire time. Christian rejoins the group that's now watching this and thinking about the child that he could possibly have sex with. He gets offered a little drink, like, hey, why don't you take this? And he's like, at first he's like, matter of fact, no, I don't know if I want it. And then he looks over at that chick, he's like, yeah, let's fucking do it. And so he slugs it back immediately, which this is the one thing that's inaccurate about doing hallucinogenic mushrooms. I've never wanted to have sex on hallucinogenic mushrooms. I've done them probably a dozen times in my life, and there was never a time where I was just like, you know, it would be cool having sex, but it looked like you were just melting in front of me. That would be, you know, there's nothing hotter and not...
Well,
you know,
that's not standard.
There is another thing that they give him. When he enters the room, you remember the guy opens up this pot and he sniffs it and he says, what is this? And he says, this will help you with your vitality.
I think
that they gave him another thing to make sure that he could get an erection. But
they've somehow vaporized. They've put Viagra into a vapor form for him.
Yeah,
like,
because,
you know, a blue pill, sometimes it's too much and it's not fast acting enough. I need to snort fucking a Viagra to really get hard to fuck a child.
I think they have a special, there's a special Swedish word for it, and I think it's called Der Funky Kolmadena.
You know,
brought to you by Bluetooth.
God damn it, Jerry.
Now this is the part of the movie where I start screaming at the screen at Christian, because I don't know, like, I do want them to get out of this situation still. Like, I hate him, I still can see good in him, because I feel like I've kind of been this bad boyfriend before, you know, not as bad as what he's done, but I've been this bad boyfriend before, and I still want him to be able to get out. So like, when she fucking hands him this drink and he asks what it is, and she literally tells him, like, this is going to lower your defenses and make you, like, more, like, susceptible. And then he just still downs it. Like, I used to think, like, you know, Danny can't be mad at Christian's actions because he was drugged. But now I realize, like, no, he actively drugged himself.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that he was chosen to mate with Maya. And he knew that he was going to be taking something that was going to lower his inhibitions.
He, like, literally, he looks at it and he's like, all right, for the thesis, let's do this. Like,
like, he's such a pussy, he can't even, like, stop himself from becoming a pedophile.
So eventually Danny actually wins this endurance test of and becomes the May Queen, and they whisper off, they put her on this, like, platform to take her over to the table. She gets crowned with a crown of flowers like this. And one of the fucking creepiest things I never noticed the first time is, if you look in the background, there is, like, in the trees, as everybody's fucking tripping and it looks really trippy, there is, like, a superimposed picture of her sister's face with the gas mask that just, like, rides along the tree line there, which is, like, I never noticed that, and thank God the internet pointed it out, because the second time I watched it, I was like, oh shit, it's right fucking there. That's fucking terrifying right there.
Man, and it's pretty much the
same as it's pretty much the same as Happy Gilmore with, like, President Lincoln and the alligator at the end.
Yes. You know what? Now, finally, Jeremy, what everybody was thinking.
It is exactly like Happy Gilmore.
You can see here that Danny's at the top of the table, like, even, like, in this trippiness, like, the flowers and the leaves are, like, kind of breathing with her face. They kind of react to her emotions. You don't know if it's, like, it's mostly the hallucinogens, but you can clearly see that Christian looks out of place out of everyone. Like, he's clearly the outsider out of everyone. So they whisk everybody away. She has to go bury, like, some meat and some grain out in the woods as part of this ritual, and they whisk fucking Christian off to go fuck this child Maya, who is fully nude waiting for him, but also surrounded by 9 elderly women who are also fully fucking nude. And it is just listen, I understand they gave him
it's not just 9 elderly women, it's a 9 elderly woman choir.
Yes. Yep. who moan in unison with Maya as he's doing his strokes. And just, it is,
they don't have Spotify.
At one point, like, at one point, there's one old lady that's actually pushing his ass like this to help.
That made me,
like,
laugh so
here you go.
Hard.
This is how you do it, Sonny. Like this. And of course, Danny comes back and goes.
I mean, but sometimes, honestly, like, you don't know how hard a girl wants you to go. Like, a little bit of help, you know.
Yeah,
nudging
grandma
little...
helping.
I just like that they're treating fucking Christian like he's one of these pandas in a zoo they're trying to get to fuck, right? Like, just everybody in the world wants these fucking pandas to fuck, and this is their only job. They were like, we need 13 people on Christian getting laid today, right? That's what your job is today. No meat pies. Nope. You're understaffed. She's got to be fucking tits out and making sure that this fucking virile young man can come in a 14-year-old. So
you were actually not wrong, because you're right. It's like, this is the first one born in the wild in 90 years.
yes. So as this is all happening, Danny returns from her little thing, and they're like, hey, what's all this sex sounds over here? And they're like, yeah, that's not for us. But she goes and checks it out through the pee hole right here, through the keyhole, and sees Christian obviously fucking somebody, and has a total meltdown where she goes and runs and start crying. And it's the only audio clip I pulled, is the 9 girls that she's with start crying in unison, similar to how the guy when he jumped off the fucking thing and wasn't dead yet, they all started screaming. They're like feeling her pain right here.
Great.
Oh, Which, by the way, this is my favorite yoga class. This is called it's called Unison Screaming.
You know, this is actually the part of the movie that, like, my girlfriend, like, latched onto the most, because she actually says that, like, she was like, you know what? Sometimes I do wish I could have a good cry with my gals.
Oh, yeah. No, so, you're not wrong. The female need to care for each other.
Literally, that's not a joke. She means it. Like, I think, like, this is something that probably would be a good thing. And I think, like, women probably do crave, like, a sense of community, because I don't know if, like, that's something that we have in, like, modern society. We don't really cultivate that anymore. So
yeah, well, I would agree. Me and Jeremy actually did this when we heard the show Get a Life was canceled. We actually sat in a circle and cried into each other's mouths on the floor.
This is also like my favorite female punk band called the Circle Fingers.
But no, I think on a very baser level, though, it is real, and women do actually do it. And I can tell you, for an example, if I tell my girlfriends, which I have many, that I have been done dirty by, say, a boy that dumps me via text last week and then sends me a Venmo request for gas money, every girl in that group is just as angry as I am, and it's a collective hate. It's very much real.
Yeah,
it's like that Steve Guttenberg sketch with Roseanne Arquette has come true in real life. So, from Amazon Women on the Moon.
Oh gosh, yes, Steve Guttenberg. <don't>... Finally, okay. we've come full circle.
it's okay. Actually, like, we can have our serious podcast after this one, where we actually talk about the merits.
You and me.
So,
I'm all about this.
After just awful, just kill them all.
After,
you know, I noticed something on this next watch, though, is that the first couple times I've seen this movie, I thought that they led Danny to see Christian having sex. But now I realize, like, did they actually want her to see it, or did they not? Because she does this all on her own. Mm.
No, yeah, she does, because they were like, no, that's not for us. We shouldn't see that. Back. Yeah, yeah. He'll drop back in a second. Okay, there. Now we have Brandon back again. Nice.
Oh, did you miss me?
Yeah, we dropped you for just a second.
Oh, okay. No, what I was saying was that, like, on previous watches, I thought that the people from the community led Danny to see Christian having sex. But on this watch, I realized that actually she did everything her own. Like, they were trying to keep her from seeing it in what seemed like an honest fashion. But really, who knows what's honest? Like, did she actually deserve to be the May Queen, or was it all an act? You know, are they manufacturing everything slightly, because they're keeping everyone drunk and on hallucinogenics, like, the whole time, and it's pretty easy to get them to feel like they're making choices when they're really not? Like, who knows? But from a viewer point of view, it seems like she found Christian rather than them showing her Christian.
Yeah, I look at it like that, but I think if Danny doesn't see that, maybe she doesn't necessarily pick Christian to be the final sacrifice, because she is given a choice, right? She is given a choice to, like, pick between these two, this guy who's clearly super innocent, or this guy who can't talk and is incapacitated by hallucinogenics, and also who fucked a child like 10 minutes ago, right?
God, my favorite part about that is that literally, like, the other guy never even seen his face in the movie once before.
Yes.
He said I promise you, he was not on set prior to that day. Like, they just pulled some rando that was never like, it could not be more stacked, like, in Christian's favor in a normal sense of words. Of course, like, if you're a half decent, even a quarter decent boyfriend, Your girlfriend is going to choose you over an absolute random stranger, but no.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that is accurate. I mean, and I think, right after this all happens, Christian gets up and realizes what he's done the second he busts that sweet jam out of his body, and then runs nude through, like, the mid fucking day of Midsummer, which another interesting thing is that this movie is about Midsummer, and it's supposed to be, you know, kind of like how Alaska is here, where it's almost like 24 hours of daylight. It's only dark for a very short period. There's no shots of the sun at all in this movie. There's not one shot. There's, you know, makeshift suns, and it's supposed to, you know, represent the sun and stuff like that, but none of it ever is shown. So I just thought that was interesting. But he's walking around completely nude, and he does a full frontal scene where his dick is all bloody because he's busted that hymen wide open, and he decided to do a full nude scene for this just because he'd seen movies like The Last House on the Left where women are kind of humiliated, and he was like, it's a dude's time to get humiliated in a horror film. So I thought that was it's shocking, and it's not even the first piece. This is the second peen we've seen full on in this movie. So lots of good dick shots in this one. Lots of good ones. But he eventually runs over to this shack to try to find some shelter, where he finds Simon in a full blood eagle, which is a Scandinavian ritual, a torture ritual, where they cut the back of, they lay you down and they cut all of your ribs open from the backside, and then rip your rib cage open, and then pull out your lungs on top of it, and then basically string you up prone so you look like a flying eagle.
Looks like Silence of the Lambs.
The shack has a special name. The B-52s call it the Death Shack.
Death Shack, baby, Death Shack. And I did pull one little audio clip of the song Blood Eagle by my favorite Scandinavian band, Amon Amarth, right here. Anyway, that's the song Blood Eagle.
Man, Amarth fans were so happy when they saw this movie.
Blood Eagle. So I do love the band Amon Amarth. He sees that, but a cult member comes up out of nowhere and fucking blows some magic sleeping dust into Christian's face as he passes out and falls to the ground after seeing this horrific scene before his eyes. And it is kind of implied that Simon is still alive and breathing like this, but obviously that's impossible because you need a diaphragm to actually move those lungs up and down. But nevertheless, it's still a pretty fucking rad thing to see an actual blood eagle on film.
Well, but I guess the question is then, it looks to us like he's breathing, but is it just Christian continuing to come down from this weird high that he's been on, that he can't tell the difference anymore between reality? Also, I do love, just to back up for a second though, that the minute he realizes what he's done is whenever, in front of all these naked women, the girl he just had sex with is like, I can already feel conception.
God, no. So they then set everybody up for the final sacrifice. We get to see our sweet May Queen, Miss Danny, who's completely covered in flowers. She can't even fucking move. It's just her face that's kind of poking up through this.
And this is the costume that my girlfriend and I made for Halloween last year. It took, and I know how they made the real dress because I looked this up. This was a combination of like real flowers and silk flowers. So this was not all real flowers on set, but my girlfriend and I made this. It took us 3 weeks, about $250 worth of dollar store flowers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dude. And we hot glued it all to this dress I was wearing. I was wearing this dress like, and while we watched horror movies, like all through last Halloween, I was wearing this dress like every night for like 3 weeks straight while she hot glued flowers to me. It was totally worth it, and I've kept it. She's like, what am I gonna wear it again? I was like, I don't give a fuck. This thing costs too much money, and it was too difficult. We're keeping this dress forever.
That's amazing. I love it.
Cosplay Monster Mania.
So yeah, that would be a good one.
We did win the Autobar Halloween costume competition.
Aww, nice.
That year. Oh my god, it was so amazing. Like, we walk in, and like everyone in the bar is like staring at her because like it's enormous. There's like, it's so over the top. Everyone's staring at her. And then like every woman in the room is like, oh my God, you look amazing. This is so awesome. And then they look over to me in the bear costume and they realize who I am. And the looks of disgust that I got from every single woman in the room was, I will never forget it. I felt like nothing that night. Literally nothing. I have never felt smaller than standing next to my girlfriend in the midsummer like May Queen costume.
But that's like such an amazing costume though to do.
Yeah, it was really hard. So
I was just hoping that you were naked with a bloody dick.
You know what? I would have got probably a little bit more looks of disgust.
Well, that's actually really funny because I've been single for so long again now, and it sucks because I've had a couple's costume I've wanted to do forever because I want to go as Lorena Bobbitt and have my date have a bloody dismembered dick in his hand and be like, she cut it off.
That's great.
I'm just looking for the one.
Well, what if the other guy, what if the guy is actually dressed as actual John Wayne?
Yeah. Oh, John Wayne Bobbitt. I got you. Okay. Good night.
That would be very
right
deep
there.
In meta.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, just dressed as a cowboy and everything.
Yeah,
so.
You just come out there with a fucking bloody nub between your legs. Yeah, that would be a good Halloween costume.
Yeah,
right?
She cut off my dick. Yeah. Oh, gross.
Wow. I didn't know you did so many great impersonations. Wait, hang on. Guys, I think we may have tapped into the other side. I believe actually John Wayne is on this yes. call. I heard his voice.
Yeah, it's me. It's me, John Wayne. Yeah. Somebody cut off my dick. I'm John Wayne.
So, they get to this final sacrifice. Danny is covered in flowers. They have two more volunteers that are just like, yep, I'm going to go off myself. They give out awards to people like, hey, thanks for bringing the most sacrifices, pal. You really fucking nailed this one. And you brought us the May Queen. Hats off to you, sir. And then Danny is left with a decision to either choose this random guy from the crowd or her pedophile boyfriend. And she, of course, chooses her pedophile boyfriend. They skin a bear and disembowel it and then put this bear skin over top of Christian so his head could poke out right underneath the mouth, and they load him into the giant yellow temple that nobody's been allowed to go into, along with the other sacrifices, such as Josh, the other two that jump from the thing, Mark, Connie and Simon, and the two volunteers who are still super alive, that all they do is just give them a little bit of like a baby aspirin's worth of painkiller, I guess. They were like, here, feel no pain.
Like, feel no pain.
But they light this bitch on fire and there is a lot of pain immediately. Yeah. They start screaming in agony. All of the followers outside start screaming in unison because they feel bad for him as the entire temple burns to the ground. And the movie ends with sweet Danny with a huge smile on her face now that she's finally found her family. The end of Midsommar.
I don't know if you guys put this. Oh no, sorry, it was mine. I broke up for a second. I don't know if you guys put this together though, but Pele tells Danny at one point that he understands what it's like to be an orphan because his parents died in a fire. I'm like,
his
parents were sacrificed.
Yeah, I never picked up on that, but that's, yeah, that is definitely that, right?
Apparently this doesn't happen every 90 years.
I would assume.
Well, if you look at all the May Queens, they do it, I don't know if the big sacrifice, but there's a May Queen, it looks like every year, because there's way too many pictures up there to just take one every 90 years, right?
That is every year.
I think,
and the one from like 1921 actually has Jack Nicholson in it. So.
Yeah, yes. Back to The Shining. Back to The Shining.
And talking about having pain while being burned to death, I've watched a lot of videos of like people being burned to death, but the only time they don't feel is when they're on a lot of heroin.
Yes, that is true. That is accurate. Heroin makes it okay to burn to death in fire. And if it's one thing I've learned from seeing the methadone clinic outside of Baltimore. Ashley, where can people find you at, darling?
You can find me and my butter pictures on Ashley Pontius Laughs on Instagram.
Oh, God, we didn't talk about these goddamn butter pictures.
And you can catch me hosting.
Oh, God.
Oh, you don't need to talk about them. Just go look at them. you can see me hosting for Eric. I think that'll come out after this episode. But yeah, I'll be hosting for Eric on August 21st. And you can catch me on the second Saturday shit show, September 12th.
Yeah, so check that shit out. Jeremy, I assume you don't have anything hot going on, or do you?
I have no life. I have no anything to promote. No.
Brandon, where can people consume the shit that you make? Plug yourself away here, brother.
Well, a lot of the films that I've made are currently on the film festival circuit. But you can search me on Facebook, Instagram, I'm just by my name, so like I'm pretty easy to find. Also, the film production company I work for is called Simpatico. And so you can find me on Simpatico if you're a screenwriter, if you're looking to make a movie and you don't know how, the film producers are the guys to talk to.
Are you aware that Jeremy Woodworth is actually an acclaimed actor? I don't know if you ever want to put him in your repertoire, but he's actually the star of The Killer Clown Meets the Candyman, an independent film made in New Jersey, where he did win, I think, a Best Actor Award at the New Jersey Horror Con. So I'll just throw that out there.
I did not know that. Yes. So.
Let's not forget that Baby Eater is 15% in the can. So.
Yes, we are working on our side project, Baby Eater, which is a movie that Jeremy is producing himself. That so far, all it is me, when I still had a mullet, eating barbecue ribs that are supposed to be a baby. So
don't forget the calling card of the movie is Baby Eater. The worst taste in horror.
Yes, the worst taste in horror. But yeah, so check out all of Brandon's shit, man. Support his stuff.
You Google my name and you'll find my IMDb. And if you're interested, if you want to see anything I've put together, just hit me up. That's the easiest way. Like I'm not unreachable. So.
Well, fuck, man. If you got any clips, send them to me. I'd love to watch them, man. I'm down with that. I'd like to see the things. I'd like to consume the things that you make if you could make it available to me somehow. I'm down with that.
Thank you.
And I loved his videos that he made, by the way.
Yes, I did. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. You can check to the next one, which Miss Ashley Pontius will be on. That'll be up at the Auto Bar the second week of September. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. That's Eric with a K, comedy with a C. I got some shows coming up, obviously with Ashley, but that's already passed. But if you're listening to it the week that this comes out, I'll be down at a brewery in Baltimore with Mr. Tommy Simbazo, Mike Quinlan, and some other folks. So come check that shit out. I believe it's on the 29th. Jeremy, take us out of here.
My sister and my parents just died. Man, I'm Christian. You're bringing me down.
All right, good work, Jeremy. Great sign off.